Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to The Justice Channel on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I am Ernest L. Moore, the host and the creator of The Justice Channel. The Justice Channel is anti-fascist propaganda media. We bring you the stories and issues that the mainstream media does not cover. Today is Saturday, April 17th in the year 2021. I am going to break with my series on the probate court corruption. Today, because I feel compelled to speak out about the George Floyd trial. This trial has been going on for weeks. I do not like the exposure of just about all of the court proceedings. I do like the exposure of just about all of the court proceedings and testimony during this trial. It will be well documented in video. There have been some recent cop killings that have reached a high profile status in this country because of network TV exposure. The corruption in the George Floyd trial is actually another example of judicial corruption, and it plays right into my reports on the probate court corruption. This criminal trial is a mockery of justice, and it is a good example of how Black Americans are subject to a judicial type of systemic racism. Most of the focus by protesters and politicians that act like they are going to do something about blatant police murders of Black Americans is on the police only. They do not say much about the judicial system and the role that it plays in violating the rights of the American Negro after victimization by the police. Another very disturbing pattern that I have noticed is that some of the conservative talk show hosts like Larry Elder and Ben Shapiro, who I believe are both attorneys, are giving dog whistles to the jury that's currently on the George Floyd criminal trial, that the defense lawyer is bringing up doubts about how George Floyd died. They do not mention at all that the expert witnesses that have been brought in by the defense lawyer are just lying under oath. It seems that the court has no problem with this because the so-called expert witnesses are getting paid big bucks. Now, I can give some commentary about expert witnesses. I do know something about it. In fact, that's why I am, one of the reasons why I'm working on a law degree now myself. I also was trained to give expert testimony when I worked in the LA County Department of Children's and Family Services as a child protective social worker. When we were required at times to testify in court, all of my cases were court driven. Now, the issue about expert witnesses, and this is another thing that shows how warped the courts are. As a psychologist, or actually I'm at the level of a marriage and family therapist here in California, I could make more money doing or giving expert testimony and other things related to court services or court proceedings than as in private practice as a therapist. And this is another sad commentary where people working in the courts, and especially the lawyers, get paid more money than people that have degrees and a lot of experience, et cetera, get paid to save people's lives, put people's lives back together, put families back together. But these expert witnesses, now attorneys are getting, like these attorneys on this, in this George Floyd trial, are probably getting somewhere between $250 to $400 an hour as a lawyer. Now, these expert witnesses, I haven't seen how much they're getting paid, but I'm assuming they're probably getting something like like $300 an hour, or they're probably getting $5,000 to $10,000. To come into court and lie, and I've seen this many times. These so-called expert witnesses just get up on the witness stand and lie any kind of way they want to, and they might catch it, and actually that will help the other side's case. But perjury is perjury. You're supposed to be getting sanction, is what they call it, sanction and fine, or even jail time. But if you come to court and lie. Now, in this George Floyd situation, the first week with the prosecution brought in several witnesses, expert witnesses. He brought in the police chief who said that this knee choke was not in their policy and that he believed it was homicide. Then they brought in a bunch of other expert witnesses that testified, doctors, I believe it is, and forensic examiner, medical examiners, who did the autopsy on George Floyd and said that it was that he died from technically a lack of oxygen because he was being choked to death. Now, that's where I have another area of experience because I had trained in mixed martial arts for several years. And I've been trained to use chokeholds, various different types of chokeholds. And the thing about mixed martial arts now is that you go down, you do what they call submission wrestling. And I have seen, actually on myself, practicing, one particular person I used to train with. Now, he weighed about 280. Almost 300 pounds, and he was showing me a hold where I am prone on my face, and he's got my arm and leg locked out, so I cannot move. I can't do anything to him, and he's putting pressure on my rib cage. His focus of what he was trying to train me that day is that I could get out of this lock that he has, but the problem is that with the pressure on my chest, I started to black out. We had to do this about four or five times where he was showing me the technique that I could use to get out of this hold. but you only have about a minute before you black out if the with the weight on your chest, you can't breathe. And my system is pretty sensitive to not having the right oxygen level, and I'll black out in a minute. So several times, I blacked out. A couple other times I came very close to blacking out until I got the move or moves, the technique that he was trying to teach me just to break out of this hold, which if that was a street fight, it would have saved my life. Otherwise, now with that type of compression on your rib cage, you will die. Well, you will black out in a few seconds. In about a minute, you got brain damage. And I think it takes 3 to 5 minutes that could kill you. So I assume this officer knew what he was doing. I don't know why he would sit there and choke someone out with a knee choke to the point that he blacks out in front of a bunch of witnesses that are videotaping the whole thing. There's a lot of things that just don't add up in this case to me. So now these so-called talk show hosts, conservative talk show hosts like Larry Elder, who is a super Uncle Tom. I mean, he's a total sellout. He's going on and on and on, actually getting angry about it, saying that, oh, well, the jury has a ample reason to have more than a shadow of a doubt that there was just something wrong here and that George Floyd just didn't die because this cop was choking him out with his knee and sitting on his back so that he could not breathe. And he's been doing that actually just, he was doing that last week and part of this week until another police shooting occurred of a young boy, I think he was about 20 years old, police shot in the alley, and he had both of his hands up. Larry Elder keeps maintaining that, oh, well, if you comply, you won't die. That's his mantra. And that, oh, there's no racism in it. He's got all these statistics to show that white cops are afraid to kill black Americans. And that there is no racism in this country. There's one thing that really gets me upset. So I have actually a clip from Larry Elder giving what I call this dog whistle from one of his shows last week. I think this was on the 13th. Let me see. What day was this? Yeah, that was on the 13th, April 13th. I'm going to play this for you. Looks like I have one caller. I might bring the caller on. But I'm going to play this clip and then I'll be right back. I hope it'll play. I have been having some problems with Blog Talk Radio recently, but I'm working on it.
Fairly simple to do, just pull them to their side.
Okay. Does it take a long time?
No.
So it's simple, it's fairly quick, and in your opinion, it alleviates or could alleviate against the dangers of positional asphyxia.
True? Yes.
Now, I know that you reviewed various MPD policies in connection with your review of this case. Is that
MPD meaning Minneapolis Police Department. Now, by the way,
hello, can you hear me?
I try and look at this from the perspective of the jury. The jury's not watching CNN. They're not watching all of these pundits trash these witnesses and talk about how overwhelming majority of people believe that this was improper use of force. What the jury is doing, looking at the several experts that the prosecution put on, all of whom said that the use of force was inappropriate, all of whom said that they believed it was the primary reason that George Floyd died, the substantial reason that George Floyd died, all of them believed that the crowd had nothing whatever to do with Officer Chauvin's judgment. He's going to have a witness to refute every single one of those points. Now, it doesn't matter whether or not there, out of 100 would-be witnesses, only one or two or three or four would be willing to testify along the lines of what I just now suggested. You're the jury. You have no idea that this represents X percentage of people that feel this way or Y percentage that feel that way. All you know is you've seen somebody who looks credible go point by point by point, refuting every single thing that the expert witnesses said on the prosecution. Again, all it takes is reasonable doubt. Back to the cross-examination of this use of force expert put on by the defense. This is the cross-examination of him.
Right. Yes. And getting back to...
And that was Larry Elder with what I call his dog whistle. And that's basically what he's been doing for almost the last 2 weeks. And along with other talk show hosts. I do have a caller on the line. I was trying to connect with him before. Actually to do a screening. I'm still trying to learn how to use this, the Blog Talk Radio interface now. I'm going to bring him on and deal with his question here.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Khalil from Charlottesville, Virginia.
Virginia?
One of the things I have... Yep.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm here in Los Angeles, California.
Huh. But I noticed that people like Jesse Lee Peterson, Larry Elder, mainly like Jesse Lee Peterson and people like that, that's another Uncle Tom, they'll basically play both sides of the fence. They'll like act like they care for black people, like they only want to do divide and conquer. They want us to go against the immigrants and the anti-abortion things, and they'll say a black person is selling us out for not going against that, but then when they actually do sell us out when it comes to the real issues, or they'll sit there and say, oh, the lawyer is exploiting George Floyd, but they don't even care about George Floyd. And it kind of makes me mad, because don't speak for me when it comes to not actually caring. I don't get why they do that. It's like, do they think that we're stupid or something?
Well, that is a very good question, and actually I could go on and on and on about why they do that. One of the reasons I believe, especially with Larry Elder, because I've been listening to him for years now, one of the reasons is that he's getting paid. And to me, it's more of the fault of the radio stations that have him on and feature him when they know that he's basically a sellout. But in Los Angeles, we have, well, yeah, there's a lot of those types in Los Angeles. And again, they're basically sellouts, and they know that actually they have a secure position because they want them to talk this sold-out Uncle Tom rhetoric that he's giving out on the radio. And his show is nationally syndicated. So there's millions of people that are listening to Larry Elder. I don't know why, but he is basically getting paid to do what he does. And to me, he's an enemy of the American Negro. And there's, unfortunately, there's many others here in California and all across the country, especially these politicians, are doing the same thing, but in a different way. And actually, I like to confront, he's on, Larry Elders is on iHeartRadio now. I'd like to confront them and actually to challenge them to put my show on iHeartRadio. If they let Larry Elder run on and on like that, and I think it's very detrimental to American Negroes.
Yeah, it is. One of the other things is like Jesse Lee Peterson, like, you know, he's the worst. To me, he's the worst of all because, like, he's from L.A., Los Angeles. But to me, he's, like, very two-faced it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he calls himself a reverend, you know? And that's one thing that makes me mad. Is if you don't care about people like us, don't pretend to care like about people like us. Don't say a person's being used when you don't care. Don't sit there and try to accuse someone of being a sellout unless you know what you're talking about, if you're going to be a sellout yourself, you know?
Yeah. And again, it is the media plays a big role in that. Just like...
Yeah.
Al Sharpton. Now, I don't understand why does Al Sharpton get all of this media exposure? He's not the only representative for Black Americans.
Right.
And the media acts like he has all of this credibility. But he was an informant for the FBI. His role in advocating for American Negroes is very weak, if you ask me, along with the others that the media tries to give credibility to, like Kamala Harris. She's 100% sellout. If they don't talk much about her record in San Francisco, but she was a dirty DA, and she was protecting racist killer cops, just like the ones that are hitting the media right now in San Francisco.
Yeah.
You notice she's not saying a whole lot about these high-profile cases.
Yeah, I noticed that now.
And they're not really doing anything about it. Now, this started, or this was... really got inflamed during these cop killings really got inflamed during the Obama-Biden administration before Trump. Remember all those killings that were going down?
Yeah.
And it is continued through the Trump administration. It wasn't as frequent as at the beginning of the Trump administration, and then right at the end. During the last year, we saw a lot of them, including George Floyd, and there was big protests, big riots all across the country, actually all across the world. And now it's starting back up again as Biden's in office with Kamala Harris, this so-called black vice president. And I don't see that they are actually taking or trying to make any big changes.
Yeah, I've noticed that now.
How are things in your city? Do you have many black politicians?
Nope. But we do have a black police chief, and she's willing to acknowledge that there's still racism, and she's willing to call out, like, bad cops.
Okay, that's good. Are you getting all of the news broadcasts about the George Floyd trial these latest killings?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to respect Alex Jones until he started to become a racist, started to be a racist person, and started to be inconsistent, you know? And I didn't know, because he was also against the left-right paradigm, but after a while he just started to become racist, and the only thing he cared about was the Second Amendment. He didn't care about anybody else's rights, you know? But then he would talk about bringing up black-on-black crime, and he would go against the ATF for the gun smuggling thing, because to me the whole debacle of the ATF gun smuggling thing was pathetic, because these people do not care about minorities, nor do they care about gun violence, you know? So, I mean, like Alex Jones, he doesn't care about black-on-black crime, because if he does, he would be consistent on gun control, and that's part of the other thing, you know? If you don't want gun control when it's reasonable, don't want it when it's unreasonable. Don't be trying to talk about blame Obama for a shooting in Dallas, which, you know, to me, his name, the Marine, he was wrong, you know. Not only did he kill innocent cops, but he messed it up for us, you know. And I don't really feel sorry that he died. I wish he didn't die, but I don't really feel sorry for his pain, because, you know, his pain of when they blew him up, because basically that was just selfish. But that's why that type of stuff, you know, if he wasn't able to get the gun, and if he wasn't, if these officers didn't have the right amount of firepower, because, you know, if the officers don't have the right amount of firepower that the civilians have, except for maybe the tactical and the investigators, then that type of stuff will happen by a crazy person. And basically, like I was saying, this man, Alex Jones, he doesn't really care about black people or other minorities. He just wants to play both sides of the fence as well, you know.
I can say a lot about that, the black-on-black crime, and there's, in fact, I have, they make these comments about, oh, how come nobody says anything about black-on-black crime? We actually tried to do, we did some rallies in Los Angeles, and we were able to bring out the media about ending black-on-black crime, and we tried to bring some of the prominent gangs together to call a truce. In fact,
right.
We did that a couple of times here in Los Angeles, and the media picked up on it a little bit. So there's people or there's blacks out there trying to do something about black-on-black crime, me being one of them. That's how I know. But you don't hear about me in the mainstream media a lot. Or the people that
right.
I work with here in Los Angeles, the activists that I worked with in Los Angeles. But one of the other reasons for the crime that's in the so-called black neighborhoods in Los Angeles is because of the lack of proper policing. And I
right.
know that myself because I've been I'm a licensed security professional myself, and I have called the police, LAPD in particular, even the sheriff's department, when I have seen a crime. And a lot of times I've been the victim of a crime and I want to do a citizen's arrest, and they will not accept my citizen's arrest. They have never, in the past 20 years, LAPD will not accept my citizen's arrest, and most of the time they won't even take a police report. Sometimes I have to go up to their supervisor, et cetera, or file a complaint against them just to take a police report. And they don't do nothing about it. And that's what's contributing to a lot of the crime in the what's left of the black neighborhoods. Now, Los Angeles here is like, now back in the 70s, it was, a majority of black Americans here now has been replaced by Hispanics and other foreigners. Black Americans are about 12%. And LAPD is about 90% Hispanic. And they don't say much about that on network TV. So there are many forms of racism that are being tolerated in this country against the American Negro. Some are very subtle and others are very blatant, just like these police killings.
Yeah.
A lot of these conservative talk show hosts who say, oh, there is no racism and this doesn't have nothing to do with racism. And they get mad when the sports figures take a knee during a game. They hate to see that. They act like, oh, well, Negroes done arrived and they should be happy. And, you know, they getting paid millions of dollars and they shouldn't be complaining. But this is a serious problem. And I'm wondering now, because I remember the George Floyd thing happened. It was last year. There was huge demonstrations and riots here in Los Angeles. And there was actually a lot of white people. And I've seen a bunch of riots in Los Angeles. And it was a lot of white people out with BLM signs.
Yep.
And saying Black Lives Matter. Where are they now? Are they protesting in your city?
A bunch of protests with white people, but it's not as big as like the nation's capital or LA or New York or Chicago. Because Charlottesville is kind of like a medium-sized town. It's like basically where the University of Virginia is, because if the UVA wasn't here, it would be smaller than it is. So it's basically a medium-sized town that doesn't have many protests. And when there is protests, a lot of times they don't announce it like they should.
Yeah, here last year, there was, again, some of the biggest protests and demonstrations I've ever seen in Los Angeles, and most of the people were white. There were some Hispanics also that were out with BLM signs.
Yeah.
But now there's like, well, at least until now, you know, maybe it'll break off if there's some more killings in the near future. But yet, I don't see that turnout yet.
Oh, did you hear about when Obama was president, how there was a white supremacist that were trying to kill him with like a rifle, and the ATF had to arrest the people? You hear about that?
Never heard about that.
Yeah, because see, they would probably say that that's a hoax too, because in these people's minds, racism and gun violence is not real. And unless it's a black person doing it, you know, in the name of BLM or Muslim. And basically there was a picture, a guy, a white supremacist with a picture of a rifle, a sniper rifle. He took a picture of it and he was a skinhead. And basically when I was at the Obama event, there was a guy with a goatee. Then there was a woman. They both had gold badges, and one of them had polarized sunglasses, and it was a male and female. And I was told that those were, like, usually when you see a male and female federal agent, and when you see a black and white federal agent or a male and female federal agent, and an agent that's federal that has a goatee, usually those are ATF agents. Because, a lot more ATF agents are diverse than the local police. Do you know about
no,
that?
No, I haven't heard about that at all.
Because ATF, like, they're the only ones that you can have goatees, and they're the ones that have practiced in diversity a lot more than a lot of the other police. It's not perfect, but, you know, it's a little bit more diverse than the local police.
I've never heard anything like that. That's interesting.
Yeah. And see, ATF is under the same thing that the U.S. Secret Service is under, which is Homeland Security.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. I do a lot of researching, and I research about Washington, D.C., because that's where I'm originally from. And I found out slaves built that whole city.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I heard that slaves built the, what was it, the White House.
Yep.
And they used to work in there.
Yeah.
In the early years. From what I heard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
go ahead.
But like, we've had a bunch of protests here. We've had protests about gun violence, and even though it affects African Americans, majority of the people were white teenagers. Part of it is because it affected the youth as well. And basically, I had a picture of a black police officer, and it made a point. If you are against gun control, fine, but be consistent. You know, don't be advocating against gun control until it's like a certain party or a certain party like the Black Panthers or a certain group like liberals or like until it's guns that are safer. If you don't want gun control, it just makes sense. And I talked to this white guy about that. He totally took whatever he wanted out the statement. He didn't take everything I said, you know, and he didn't even say, you know, he was against gun control, period. But like he just took whatever he wanted out the statement. And basically, like I said, you know, if you don't want gun control, fine. But be consistent and compassionate. And don't just say it doesn't happen until a black person does it in the name of BLM. You know, don't be doing that type of stuff, because I know where your heart is at. It's not on helping people. Basically on your self-centeredness.
Yeah, that's
and
another
like I said,
issue.
Yeah.
That's
but
probably another issue I'm going to bring up in another show. Now that these mass killings are on the rise.
It does tie into race, though, but I'll bring it up next time I'm getting on the show.
Well, to me, it may tie into race, but then there's a mental health factor also.
Right.
Just like, which ties into a lot of other things, but the mental health field has been neglected and has been almost destroyed in this country, and
right.
There needs to be more, you know, mental health services. There needs to be more research done for mental health care delivery, et cetera, et cetera. I think that is one of the reasons why we're getting so many of these mass shootings, along with the fact now they're letting these foreign terrorists in the country. So we're in for some bad times ahead. Very bad times. So thanks for calling in. I've got to continue on with my show.
Thank you.
And thank you. And I hope you continue to listen and call back in another
All
day.
Right, thank you. All right.
Bye. Bye. And this thing won't hang up. And that's Blog Talk Radio. So, getting back to my subject here. So, as we see in the George Floyd murder trial, I can almost predict certain outcomes. And this is from years of prior cases where the court actually operates to protect these killer cops. Now, I could almost put up some bets about how this trial for George Floyd is going to turn out. I'm saying one scenario is that the jury acquits him of all charges. I imagine there may be, might be some riots, I think. I know they're preparing for it in Los Angeles. I hear that they're preparing for it all across the country. And that is a very real possibility. The other thing is now, if they do convict him, which they should convict him, and in fact, I am saying that if that jury does not convict him, that jury should be criminally charged. They should go to jail. I believe, well, they do get another trial. I think if the jury comes back hung, they can try him again, if I remember correctly about criminal law. I think, unless it's unanimous, if the jury comes back unanimous, not guilty, then they can't try him again, if I remember correctly. If it's split, they can try him again, I think up to three times. Maybe that's different in his state. Now, the other scenario is that the jury convicts him. And I would say he probably won't get over 3 years if he's convicted. Maybe four. And he could probably get out with good behavior maybe in a year or two or something like that. Or they make up an excuse, but, the jails are overcrowded and COVID and blah, 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 and get out in less than a year. That is, to me, the other possible scenario. And I should probably put up some bets on those, because I bet you it's going to be one of those two scenarios. And from trials that I've seen before, there's all kinds of things that can happen with the jury. And then say if the jury does convict him during the sentencing, the judge can just like make it real lenient. And then what about the other officers that were looking on and helping him? They should have all been charged. I haven't heard too much talk about them. All of them should be charged. And in cases that similar to this one in the past, I think there was one in Chicago where a cop shot this boy on the freeway. And there was a bunch of other cops. They all shot him on the freeway. But the cop was convicted. And I think, but the judges gave him like 1 or 2 years, and then they didn't charge any of the other cops that were there that day. So we'll see what happens next week in the George Floyd case. Now we have some other cases coming up. This case in Brooklyn Center with Officer Kim Potter, who shot Dante Wright. And there's been so many of these killings, I can't even keep up, remember all the names, all the people that have been killed. And this is last 2 years or something like that. But with this case, the officer thought that she had pulled out her taser, and have her on the videotape saying taser, taser, taser several times, and had her gun out and shot this boy who was resisting arrest, even though things just don't add up like that, because the police obviously had him. And I think he was pretty young too, and they couldn't, he was struggling. I think they almost had handcuffs on him, and the police could not restrain him. And then he jumped in his car and started to drive away, and this officer Potter shoots him and kills him. And she was charged, I think, with manslaughter. And so that trial is going to be coming up probably within about a year. And then just recently, there's another one. There's a boy running in the alley. He was pretty young, 20 years old. And the cop shot him, supposedly in a dark alley. The conservative talk show hosts are now saying, oh, well, look at the video. He just had a split second to make a decision. And the boy supposedly had a gun, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if that cop is going to be charged or not, but we obviously have very serious problem going on here in this country. And now we have a new president and a black vice president, and things don't seem to be changing real quick. So we will see what happens. I hope there aren't going to be any more. There shouldn't be any more. And this just makes me think, what about the cases that don't make the news? And I know from my own experience that I've been trying to get network TV to give exposure about police, so-called police misconduct, which I call police crimes here in Los Angeles, that I've been involved with directly. In fact, I've been going to the meetings here with the LA County Citizens Oversight Commission that's supposed to be overseeing the Sheriff's Department. And many times network TV people will be there. And I try to get them to give exposures to some police crimes that I know are going on right now. In fact, I'm trying to get criminal charges filed against these particular cops, and they will not pick up on my reports. They will not give any exposure to it at all. And along with that commission, well, the commission is basically, they're supposed to just take testimony and reports from the public, and then they send it to the LA County Board of Supervisors that so far aren't doing anything. They had a problem with Jackie Lacey, the former district attorney. In fact, I was involved with some demonstrations against her. This was years before just before her last election, where she was beat by Gascon with Black Lives Matter. And I videotaped it. I might do a show on that also. But Jackie Lacey is very corrupt. I knew that. I was on her from actually when she was originally running for district attorney, because she came to my union, political action committee, which I was very involved with. And I did not like her at all right away. I could tell that she was just 100% Uncle Tom. a real mealy mouth, just like Mark Reilly Thomas. And I had actually recommended to them that do not recommend Jackie Lacey. But she went on to win it anyway. And she's been protecting a lot of dirty cops, just like Kamala Harris had done in up there in San Francisco a while back before she went into politics. I think she moved into the Senate or something like that. And then now she's vice president, which is everything is just totally suspicious if you ask me. And that'll probably be a focus of another show. I want to focus in on what happened to the Trump administration and that election. A lot of these conservative talk show hosts aren't doing an analysis of what happened with the fall of the Trump administration, and how did we end up with Biden and Kamala Harris when during the primaries, both of them were losing candidates. And in fact, Kamala Harris dropped out and Joe Biden was about to drop out, but then Bloomberg, all of a sudden, he drops out, and he was spending millions of dollars all over the country trying to establish himself as a legitimate politician. And they didn't talk a whole lot about what he did in New York. But he just drops out, and then all of the others dropped out, and then everybody's supposed to vote for Biden. And then this COVID media diversion came up. And it shut the whole country down. Everybody's got to wear a mask. They didn't even have the conventions. So there wasn't a big Democratic convention. I'm sure if they had a public convention, a lot of Democrats would have been angry about the party's decision to select Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And all of that now has just been swept under the rug, and the media acts like it's trying to normalize having Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, two very corrupt politicians in office. And who says, now, Joe Biden was a segregationist. They were all this talk about, oh, Trump is a racist, and they want you to want him to denounce this and denounce that. But they never asked Trump to denounce Joe Biden. And he even admitted, and he had the nerve to apologize, that him and four other senators had devised this prison pipeline program because of drugs for Black Americans. And so I don't forgive him. And I don't think any other self-respecting Black American should forgive him. Why does he get a pass and get to be president and he doesn't have to go to jail? And he's responsible for sending probably millions of Black Americans into jail unjustly. That doesn't make sense. So the situation with the police is not a very big surprise to me. It was going on under the Obama and Biden administration. But these things I'm going to, again, will probably be the focus on future shows. I want to talk about what happened with Trump and do an analysis on that. And then I want to talk about how corrupt Joe Biden is and the situation with the police. It looks like this is going to be an ongoing situation. So I'll probably do another report on this. And then hopefully I'll get back to my series on the corruption in the probate courts. We have to do something about our courts. Our courts are totally corrupt. It's just a big money-making system for lawyers, which it shouldn't be, because we pay taxes for it. Just like I was talking to an appellate lawyer today, and to take my probate appeals, and he was saying, "Oh well, I want $10,000 down, and then a whole appeal is probably going to cost you about $50,000, and you may or may not win at all." So this is just a big money-making scheme. I call it a judicial extortion system, so lawyers can make big money, and our taxes are paying for it. And the way it is now, you can't get justice in our judicial system if you can't afford it. If you can't afford justice, all you're going to get is just us in our judicial system, because you got to pay big bucks. It's a big pay-to-play game, and it shouldn't be, because we're paying taxes for it, and they're supposed to be getting justice for American citizens. I'm just about out of time now, and I believe that is it for this show. I hope we'll get more callers next week. Let me check the chat. I didn't even check the chat yet. Looks like somebody's in the chat here. I don't see any texts. They're not writing anything. So I will be back next week, next Saturday, 9 p.m. Hopefully it'll be more consistent now. And I hope to do more regular shows. I hope you come back. Put on my exit music here. I'll be probably going into a studio also. Right now I'm in an office building, like up on the 9th floor in downtown LA. That's why you hear all this background noise. But hopefully we'll be going to a studio. Hopefully I'll get some sponsors and advertisers, so that actually we can do a more better produced program in the very near future. And that is it for me today.
You can see my upcoming show schedule from my Blog Talk Radio show page, as well as listen to past show archives from my TJC show page on Blog Talk Radio. The Justice Channel is also on YouTube at www.youtube.com/user/ELMN2000. And I blog at www.thejusticechannel.blogspot.com.
Own it, truth be told, yourself is your toughest opponent. When your moment comes, grab hold and own it. Never let go, stand tall and hold tight. Overcoming obstacles is the objective in life. Doubters overnight, and after them you shine bright. Cause inside your head, on doors the light. Ignite, fight the intuition upon the stars in the night that glisten. To you they listen, to be you send it a wish in. When your time comes, don't postpone it. When others doubt and out, you don't condone it. Truth be told, yourself is your toughest opponent. When your moment comes, grab hold and own it. Never let go, stand tall and hold tight. Overcoming obstacles is the objective in life. Doubters overnight, and after them you shine bright. Cause inside your head,